And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
That's me. Good to be with you on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Encourage you to download the 605 radio app or the Hub City Radio app. Take us wherever you go. Perhaps you're on a road trip here this summer. Perhaps you're taking a road trip this spring, or maybe you're just going to your aunt's house. I don't know what your game plan is and your schedule is, so you can download and listen to us, as always, right here, Monday through Friday. It's a daily sports talk show on Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure. We call him Mr. Unlimited. He is the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Ready to have a great week after the nice weekend we had.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we had ourselves a phenomenal weekend weather-wise. Did you get a chance to get out there and swing the sticks a little bit?
Yeah, I played 27 holes this weekend.
Did you? Yeah. How was the game?
Yeah, it's coming along pretty well. I actually hit the ball pretty good for the first time out, and I haven't swung a club since September, and went out there. My driver was a little bit all over the place. My short game stinks, but my irons actually are coming along pretty nicely.
Wow, good for you. I'm usually, irons are hit or miss. My driving is more miss than hit. My putting is not great, but my chipping is phenomenal.
Really? I wish you got to give me a lesson on chipping then, because I'm not great at it at all.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just the luck that I've got, but that's the portion of my game that I feel really good about.
Yeah, I was a little bit ambitious. I've walked 18 on Saturday and walked 9 there yesterday evening. It just felt great being back, and I was playing okay, keeping the ball in play, and when you're hitting the ball well, it makes it a lot of fun. But just being outside was the big thing for me. Not a lot of wind. It was really prime golf weather over the weekend, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was a perfect day yesterday. Went for a walk with the dog, and my daughter and my wife were out there too, and I said, okay, we got to go relaxing. So Sunday night, break out the vodka tonic there on the back patio. Cooked up some burgers on the grill. Just phenomenal, picture-perfect weather. I'm right there with you. I wish I would have golfed this last weekend, but you know, now that quote-unquote sports season is over, it just means more family time, which is always a good thing, but at some point in time, I got to get out there,
too. I saw you went to the Northern State game, though, on your Twitter there.
I did. Beautiful day for them to have a softball doubleheader, and beautiful results, too. A nice 2-0 weekend for the Wolves.
A couple walk-offs, right?
That's right. 6-5 walk-off there on game one, and then game two, 1-0. So really, really nice atmosphere. I do have one tiny little gripe that I've got about Keeler Hall of Fame Field, especially with my 10-month-old being there. Not a whole lot of space for shade. Need more shady parts. That's it. That's my only complaint.
Get the umbrella and stick it out. Yeah. Stick it in the bleachers or hold it the whole time. Yeah, stick it in there.
Stick it right in the ground there. Just pull a Baker Mayfield or whatever the way he did that with
the flag. Oklahoma flag.
Yeah, was that in Ohio State?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's right. So that's my only complaint. Other than that, it's an incredible facility. It's great, but just a little bit more shade. That's my only complaint.
Yeah, well, it was pretty sunny out there, man.
Yeah,
I had to get out the aviators there Saturday, but you know, it was funny. I was walking the course, and by like 14, I'm just like, we're getting here at the finish line. I struggle to get through. My hip was bothering me. I'm like, I gotta stop walking here. I'm dying.
I feel like you got a little color there.
Yeah, I got the old golfer's tan, the farmer's tan, basically from your short sleeve on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. Now, up here, not too good.
Well, it's a long summer for sure, and we still got another month and a half to go yet until we officially reach that summertime. But, you know, one thing that goes hand in hand with golf, of course, is the Masters. Had that this last weekend. We'll talk about that here for sure. Jay Kleinkonek, the voice of the Aberdeen Wings. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes on the program as well. As they draw Bismarck, they are officially in the postseason. Job well done for head coach Scott Langer and company. And we're talking off the air a little bit about them and their matchup with Bismarck. On paper, not necessarily the most favorable matchup for the Wings, but hey, playoff hockey, it's a different animal, isn't it?
Yeah, anything can happen in playoff hockey, and the Wings, we talked about it a little bit off the air. I went back and looked. They only beat Bismarck one time all year. It came in late February. Last time they played them, they struggled at their place. So going to have to play a lot better than what they have against Bismarck, but you come in with some momentum now. I think the Wings, the last two series versus Austin here and obviously against North Iowa, they get the sweep. You're coming in with momentum. You've won three of your last four games. I think you got to like with where you're at playing now, and now it's just trying to, I guess you could say, slay the dragon, mm-hmm. per se, and try to get a couple wins. I think those first two games are huge, and we'll talk with Jay a little bit more about that. But if you can steal home ice, you're in good shape.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's absolutely what I'm looking for. Just take one out of two, then the next thing you know, you're back home at the Yodi for the next two. And if you can steal home ice, I really like their chances to maybe, like you said, slay that dragon. So we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out.
Well, it's also really cool, too, that they – I think I this is the first year, obviously, kind of covering the playoffs. But mm-hmm. after your two games, you get a whole week off to kind of prepare.
Yep.
It's not every other day type of thing. It's – you get a whole week, so you can kind of make some adjustments after the first weekend, even if you're down 0-2, up 2-0, and see what you need to work better at and see what happens there in the next series. But I'll tell you what, best of five, anything can happen in playoff hockey. I think it's going to be a fun series. I really do.
Daily Sports Talk Show Monday through Friday. David Tewksbury alongside
Mr. Unlimited.
As we toss it skyward, and to your point, it goes Friday, Saturday. Friday, Saturday. Then if it goes to five, then game five would be the next Monday.
Okay.
So right after the Friday, Saturday.
So okay, cool.
We'll see how it all plays out.
I like that.
I do too. But one thing I do complain about, it's kind of a motif for me, and I think you would probably argue this too. It's just weird to me how the playoffs of the Robertson Cup are, because it goes best of five, best of five, best of three, then you get a national championship. It's just one game. It's just like...
it's a little weird.
I think that's accurate. I think if the first two series are best of five, then it's a best of three.
Yeah, it is best of three. I looked at the little playoff bracket.
Yeah,
they had the best
strange,
of three.
Yeah.
I mean, if you would play best of five, the season wouldn't be done till June.
Yeah, it would be a very long season if it was all best of five, for sure.
Like, you would be playing games from September to June. That's mm-hmm. a long season.
It's a really long season. But I don't know, just national championship, I get it. But it's kind of sort of antithetical to what hockey is. It'd be like Major League Baseball having, you know, the World Series as best of three or something like that.
Well, they do it in college, too. They got the Frozen Four. I think that's a best of – I think that's just a one game. You move on, you lose, you're done. So
yeah.
I think you like the best of five to start because you're playing teams in your division. But then when you get to the national, I guess, scene, when you get to those last four teams, it's – hey, we got to quicken this thing up a little bit.
Yeah, there's pluses and minuses for sure with all that sort of stuff. And, you know, one thing that I thought was kind of interesting that I saw from this last weekend was, speaking of the playoffs and the postseason, I think Jim Moore is probably lurking around here somewhere at some point in time here on the show. But, you know, you're a big NBA guy, a big fan of the 76ers.
Yeah, this is a tough time for me because I know they're going to break my heart.
Sure.
Right around this time, this is a tough little stretch here for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, you know me, I'm not a big NBA fan, and, you know, different strokes for different folks. But I thought this was really, really interesting. There's a player named Mikal Bridges, of course, he plays for the New Jersey Nets. And in the day and era of load management and, oh, what's today, Wednesday? You expect me to play on a Wednesday? I don't think so.
After a back-to-back?
Yeah, after a back-to-back? No way. In that sort of vein, in this day and age of the load management and what have you, Mr. Bridges hasn't missed a game in 6 years. He has played 474 straight games. How about that? That's amazing.
I saw that earlier this morning on X, and I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Great Phoenix Sun. I know a lot of people in Phoenix, when he got traded to Brooklyn, they weren't too happy because he was a guy that, like you said, doesn't miss many games, and he's just the model of consistency and what you want in the NBA. Just the guy who's been able to take care of his body. He's actually a Villanova product, which is by where I live back home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sixers drafted him and then traded him to Phoenix. What are we doing? Oh, man, that
local
one still
guy.
Haunts me.
Local kid.
Yeah, it's like you draft the local kid and you trade him out west, and now he's back in Brooklyn doing what he's doing. Really cool, but I saw that and was stunned, but not in the same breath because this is a guy that's been doing it his whole career.
Well, I think that if the NBA had more players like him,
yes.
I think I would be a little bit more interested in turning on the playoffs in the NBA. Next week, of course, we've got the NFL draft. I know we've talked about draft grades and that sort of thing, and I know you're really, really high on J.J. McCarthy.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
Not at all. But I will tell you, and I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, okay? There are three teams, three teams that have never once drafted in the number one selection. They've never had the worst record in the NFL. Three teams. I'm going to put you on the spot. Any guesses? And you've got unlimited guesses, but, well, not quite unlimited. We got to bring in Jake Klein Connect here in a little bit.
I don't think the Ravens have ever had one.
Okay, that's one.
The Raiders?
Nope, they've drafted number one before.
Have the Vikings?
They have.
Packers, definitely. Packers.
They've drafted number one before. Two more guesses.
Broncos.
That's another one. Yes, you've got two out of the three.
Because I was thinking John Elway, but he got drafted by the Colts.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Oh, man, I don't know. I know the Jets have.
Yes, they have.
New England.
No, they've also drafted number one. The only three teams that have never had the number one pick in the National Football League draft, your Baltimore Ravens, the Denver Broncos, and my Seattle Seahawks.
Wow.
Those are the top three teams that have never had the number one pick in the draft.
Well, hopefully it continues that way, and hopefully those teams are, or maybe outside, I don't care what Denver does, but yeah. Our Ravens and Seahawks, hopefully they continue to not have number one picks.
Ironically enough, we've got fans of all three of those teams in this building. You with the Ravens, me with the Seahawks, Doc Sebastian is a Denver Broncos fan, so I thought that was kind of interesting. And also a couple more here, quick, like before Jay Klein Connect joins us here. Of course, yesterday the Masters wrapped up. Scottie Scheffler, congratulations to him. I saw this tweet on the X this morning. His on-course earnings alone over the last 35 days, $12,653,735. So per day, that's $361,535 a day. So clearly we're both working in the wrong industry.
Yeah, we should have started golf when we were like 4 years old.
No kidding. Can you imagine that? That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is amazing. I saw a tweet too. I don't know if it was accurate or not, but like, I think the earnings for Scottie Scheffler's caddy was more than Rory McIlroy over the course of what he's been doing
Wow. The
last couple of weeks. But yeah, Scottie Scheffler, it was there to be taken. A lot of guys were there in the middle of the pack, 6-5 under, and Scottie was able to just take the bull by the horns and birdied. I think he birdied three holes in a row, went to the back, and you know, when you get to the back, you got to play mistake-free golf.
Yeah.
Max Homa put one in the water, or Max Homa double birdied. You had somebody else.
Double bogeyed.
Yeah, double bogeyed. Then I believe Morikawa put one in the water. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't make mistakes. Eamon Corner is the big winner on Sunday. Scottie Scheffler played that clean. Other guys that were trying to get him didn't play it clean. And he's your champ 2 and 3 years for Scottie Scheffler.
Pretty amazing. And I saw somebody tweet before the Masters even started this last week. And I think, admittedly, he said he's not a big golf fan. But he said, there's no way I'm betting on Scottie Scheffler. It's like, didn't he just win not that long ago? Yeah, so 2 and 3 years. Pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. And he's going to, if he continues this pace, watch out. I mean, he's already the best player in the world by, I think, a wide margin.
Tough go about it for Tiger Woods, but the fact that he was playing on Sunday puts a smile on my face. He is the needle, you know?
Did you see him shake Vern Lundquist's hand?
I did, through the tree.
Yeah, that was a great picture, but Vern's been at the Masters for 40 years. That was his last Masters, and I just thought that was a really cool moment. He went over there to shake his hand because Vern's been a part of Tiger's most legendary shot. Have you ever mm-hmm. seen that
oh,
before
yeah.
in your life in 05 and
yep.
19 and things of that nature, so... Yeah, that was a really cool moment, too.
Yeah, one of the best to ever do it there on the microphone, for sure, talking about Vern Lundquist. Speaking of one of the best to do it on the microphone, he's Matt McClure. We've got Jay Klein Connect joining us here, the voice of your Aberdeen Wings. He'll join us in studio after the Monday installment of the Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Splendid to have you with us here in studio. Enjoy the weather while you have it, because throughout the work week here, it's going to get progressively crummier as we've got colder temperatures and, well, it's just kind of springtime here in South Dakota like we talked about there yesterday.
Your favorite season.
My favorite season. I'm not a big fan of springtime here in South Dakota, but I am a big fan of the gentleman joining us here in studio, and that's Jay Klein Connect, the voice of your Aberdeen Wings. And hello, sir. How are you?
I am well, but you are a liar. You're not a big fan of me. And second of all, splendid and crummier.
Yeah.
Wow. That's throwing it out there, man. I love those.
I like you, Jay. You know, sometimes you give me a hard time, but at the end of the day, you're all right in my book. And I will tell you, one time my mom made a crumb cake, and she said to my wife, she goes, "Oh, how's the cake?" And my wife said, "Oh, it's pretty crummy." And I was just like, oh. That's like the worst dad joke of all time, but it worked out.
That's punny. That's really punny.
Very, very punny. Well, of course, the season is officially over now for the regular season. Now it's playoff time as the Aberdeen Wings will be taking on the Bismarck Bobcats, and we'll probably dissect that matchup here in just a bit. But you texted me last night, and it's on the website there for the Aberdeen Wings. 7 straight playoff appearances for this squad. That's pretty special, huh?
You know, it is. That's saying something. When you can go 7 straight years and make a playoff appearance, and when I look through the rest of the league, there's not another team that has done that, certainly in our division. But in fact, Bismarck, who's got a really strong team that, you know, as you said, we'll dissect that in just a moment. But, you know, they went 3 years without having an appearance. You know, so for having 7 straight seasons with the playoff appearance, and, you know, even if you're getting knocked out early, but usually, I mean, of those 7, 4 of them have gone deep. So, you know, that's saying something about the structure of this team and about the ownership, about the coaching, about the scouting, all of those things for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talk about 7 straight, and this year it was kind of a bumpy ride. It seemed like it was a pretty, like a roller coaster almost, but they finished the season strong, winning 3 of the last 4, and they needed those 3 wins to make the playoffs, because last weekend there was a bunch of teams right battling for positioning.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you say roller coaster, because I've used that term so many times this year. They have been so up and down at times. They've gotten completely shelled by a team, and then they'll come back the next night and shell, you know, the opposition. It's just been really, really strange. And there's some structure things. There's some things where, if I'm being perfectly honest, that when they play with structure and they play as the coaching is wanting them to do, they win. They do well. But then there's times when it's more of a me mentality. And, you know, they want to go do their own thing. And then that's when they kind of fall apart. That's what I see. Like, I mean, in my mind, that's kind of how it looks to me. But it has been a roller coaster for sure. And, it's been an interesting year, no doubt, but they have finished strong and they needed it at the end of the season. I've been saying it all year. Well, not all year, but maybe since the Christmas break, that it was going to come down to the final game of the season. And it did. You know, they clinched on Friday night. They knew they were in the playoffs, but then it was like, okay, now there's 1 point between the Aberdeen Wings and the Austin Bruins, and the Bruins had a 1-point advantage. If St. Cloud were to beat Austin and Aberdeen were to win, they would flip. And I'm like, I just didn't see St. Cloud beating Austin. I really didn't. But as I'm watching, you know, and we're down, like we're at 3 minutes left in the game, and it's a 3-2 game. It's mm-hmm. tight. They're this close to pulling their goalie, and, you know, it was a really intense game. I'm opening up my phone. I look at it, and I'm like, oh, my God. St. Cloud has beaten Austin. So, like, if the Wings can hold on to this, they go from 4-3 in the seeding. And, it was a pretty exciting night, Saturday night, for sure. I needed some blood pressure medicine, but nobody had any for me.
Yeah, there you go. Jay Kleinconnect joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. And when you need to play, essentially playoff hockey to get there, feels like they're kind of riding that high. Can you kind of tell the difference between, like you said, right around that Christmas break into right now, as to playing some of their best hockey at the right time?
You know, yes and no. There are still times when, you know, where there's a period. They haven't put 60 minutes together. You know, they had a really strong second and third on Friday night, but that first period was a little bit of a lull, and it's just, you know, they still need to string it together, and they got to get healthy. Mm-hmm. Right now, they've got some key players that are, you know, banged up a little bit, you know, and I'm talking to some of the guys, I'm asking them, you know, and how you feel and whatever, and they're like, well, I'm all right. I just, another week. So, that, you know, they sat some guys on Saturday night, and not because they necessarily wanted to, but it was just, you know, give them a little time. You know, they're you know, they've got a knee or a lower body, whatever the injury is, that you know, is needed a little time to kind of rest and recuperate. So hopefully they can get healthy this weekend or throughout this week. I'm sure the coaching staff is going to take it fairly easy on them this week to just get some of these guys back in the lineup because we had a lot of new players. One gentleman joined the team literally on Saturday and played his very first game and got that rookie skate, you know, and that was kind of cool. But they're bringing in some young guys to help kind of fill in the lineup. So they got to get healthy. But to answer your question more directly, I guess, I do feel like they feel like the intensity is that of playoff. And so that kind of helps, you know. You don't have that lull where you've clinched and you kind of like fall into it like maybe Minot will. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But
I feel like goaltending was a big key for the Wings this year. They got outshot, it seemed like, a lot in games this year. And Dye Ball was great pretty much all season. It just seems like sometimes when you need your goalie to step up, he did it in crucial times of this season. Would you agree with that?
100%. No, and you know, there were times certainly when Corey Kokendorfer or when Adam Duvall, you know, they would struggle at times, and but when you can't really blame goaltending all the time because sometimes it's a defensive breakdown. You know, it's like that you've got a 2-on-1 or a breakaway or something, and you're like, somebody failed that goaltender ahead of him. And, you know, and they've made big saves in crucial times. You know, on Croy Kokendorfer, for example, you know, he made just a huge kick save in that game on Saturday night to secure that win. And I was just shocked at the way how somehow he was able to get his left leg over and knock a puck away that I was just, it was, you know, like he covered the crease really well. And it has been crucial for sure. They've had their ups and downs, but Adam Duvall was awarded the MVP of the season because he's really kind of carried the team. But again, you know, it can't all come down to him. And a lot of times they've left them hung out to dry, and they've got to do better defensively. And I think, you know, Coach Langer would echo that sentiment.
There's one thing that's really unique about hockey. It kind of reminds me of Legion baseball to a certain degree. Jay Kleinkonnect joining us that you just mentioned. You know, a lot of times you get into playoff Legion baseball, it's like the end of the summertime, and sometimes you get a guy that's going to age out. He's getting ready for freshman year of college, and he's got, you know, fall camp, I should say, for football. So you've got players kind of coming and going throughout the season, especially that late. Wings are kind of similar too. You've got guys kind of coming into the program throughout the season. Is that kind of unique in the fact that you've got the playoffs just around the corner here, and you've got some new guys joining the squad?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's year to year they bring in AP players or what do you call affiliate players that are allowed to play a couple of games that are tendered for the next year or whatever. They're only allowed 6 games to play.
But it's like a red shirt almost.
Yeah, it is a lot like that actually. You know, and then, you know, there's others too, you know, that you bring in as visitors that are just kind of like, this is, you know, and they're riding the bus, they're seeing how, you know, how things work and what the practice is like and stuff. And just, you know, to kind of give them a feeling for what it's like, no doubt. It is interesting to see how they fit in. And in fact, Wings Weekly, which you'll hear, well, tomorrow probably, but I'll be doing a little bit. I've got a guy that won, the state championship for Edina at the Minnesota State hockey. And if you know anything about hockey, Minnesota State hockey high school is huge. I mean, they fill the XL Center, and it's a big deal. And he, you know, he just came off a state championship and then joins the Wings. And like you said, the transition, and we've had others like Joe Molinar won it for Bloomington a few years back. And the week after he won the state championship, he's, Aberdeen Wing, you know, and there is definitely a different dynamics, I guess, when it comes to, you know, transitioning from high school hockey to or even other levels of juniors to this higher level of juniors, the physicality, the speed, all of those things, you know. And I was, you know, I've had people, and I'm probably rambling a bit here, but I've had people that have been, you know, kind of wondered, like, why aren't they getting as many minutes as they'd like? And I'd tell them, you're a star in high school. Everybody on this team was a star in high school.
Yep.
You know, like that's the difference. Like these are some of the most elite players in the country at this age group. And if you're not going to come in here and just automatically, you know, be a star, because that every one of these guys was a star in their high school and their team. So the transition is interesting for sure, and seeing these younger guys come in and the dynamics and how it all works is very and interesting, and it's great to see the captains and the leadership welcome them the way they do.
Yeah, it's really unique.
Now, let's get into this matchup here versus Bismarck, the 2-3. You mentioned it in the playoffs. A team that the Wings have struggled with this year. I think the last time they won was late February on the road, actually, 4-3 in Bismarck. So it sounds like they're up for the challenge, but it's an uphill climb going on the road for the first two, right?
No, yeah, no doubt. I mean, clearly, with the higher seed, you're always facing an uphill challenge. But when you look at the statistics and on paper, you know, the Wings have actually played the number one seed, Minot, who clinched the division a little better than they have against Bismarck. And I think that's kind of a mental thing, and they need to get past that. You know, they need to get understand that they can beat them, because they have. They've beaten everybody in this division at some point throughout the season, but they have struggled a little bit against Bismarck. Bismarck's got great goaltending. They're a fast, skilled team. They're physical. They do a lot of great, a lot of things. And you know what? The weird thing is that they're really similar teams. You know, the Wings have a lot of team speed. Like a team like North Iowa that the Wings just swept. They've got about three guys that have real good speed. But the Wings across the board have good team speed, and Bismarck's a lot like that too. They're physical. It's going to come down to that. Physical but disciplined. You've got to stay disciplined, stay out of the penalty box. Don't give them a bunch of power plays, because they're really good on the power play. There's a lot of keys, that we're looking at as we look forward to this coming weekend against Bismarck. But it is, an uphill battle for sure. But if you can't get up, like, I think the words of Coach Langer, and I hate to say that because it's kind of off the record, so to speak. It was just conversational, but I don't think he'd mind. If you can't get up for a challenge like this with a team that you've struggled against, you want to. If you don't have that in your guts, if you don't have that in your heart to go say, you know what, I'm not scared of these guys. We're going to go in there and own these guys. If you don't have that in you, then you're not going anywhere anyway. You're not going to have any success. So I found that a really good message, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. If you can't get excited for this, if you can't get amped, and you're like, oh boy, we're going to play these guys again, well, it's not going to bode well.
Yeah, to be the best, you got to beat the best. If you want to hoist the Robertson Cup, you're going to have to beat some pretty good teams on that track to get there. Maybe one or two more here with JK on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So a lot of times when you get to the next level, in this case the playoffs, broadcasters say, oh, it's a different level of intensity. But at the end of the day, it's still 60 minutes. You still got to put the biscuit in the back of the basket. Can you tell the difference between regular season and playoffs? There is a big time.
100%. No, 100%. I mean, like, every year when the playoffs, like, it's amped up. You know, the coaches go through, you have the playoff shirts that they give to everybody that's got a message on them, that's got some sort of, some kind of inspirational thing that everybody's wearing, and you see the boys starting to grow the playoff beard and and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's definitely high intensity. Like, even just on the bus, getting off the bus, they're just like, let's go, come, and it's just, it's more for sure. As throughout the regular season, they have that too, but it's just day to day. Playoffs is a definitely different level, and I think the intensity leads to the physicality too. Mm-hmm. There is pushing and shoving, there's tussles, there's everything, and we saw that even this weekend with North Iowa. Well, North, if I'm being perfectly honest, North Iowa was kind of chippy like that all the time. It's just the way they play. And one of the messages to the Wings this weekend, was to stay out of that, because you get yourself in trouble. They've got nothing to play for.
Right.
You can be suspended. You can be, disciplined, and we need you. So stay out of that stuff and let them play their dirty way or whatever they want to do. But when the playoffs come around, even the officiating is different. They let them go. Mm-hmm. There's more to it. And there's definitely a lot of stuff behind the scenes, not even behind the scenes, but behind the play and things like that that go on. I'm always watching, like, the coaches and everything. It's definitely a different level.
Looking forward to it.
You know what I think is cool is you play two games, you got the first two games, and then you got a whole week off, and then you play again.
Yeah.
It's not like every other day you're playing a game. So you can make adjustments right on the fly. If you're up 1-1 or if it's tied 1-1, you're down 0-2, you're up 2-0, you got that long stretch in between games, right? So
yeah.
I find that a little bit interesting. Do you find that at all?
Well, for sure. And you know what? One thing I've known about Coach Langer over the time that he's been with the Aberdeen Wings, you know, is that he makes adjustments very well. In-game adjustments, too. There are times that I've seen him make a change on a face-off or something like that, and I'm watching the opposing coach, and they're so busy talking to one of the players or something that they don't even notice that there has been a change, in the not just the lineup or the personnel, but in the play. And without a doubt, he dissects film very well, and you get an opportunity to to really kind of see what's working, what's not. You know, you change different things, and you're on your penalty kill, whatever it might be, and having that opportunity, whether, like you said, whether you're down 2-0 or whatever it is, you have some time to do some homework.
Well, looking forward to the matchups here this weekend. I think at bare minimum they want to take home ice advantage for sure to head back to Aberdeen at minimum 1-1. So looking forward to those matchups there with Bismarck. Again, we were talking off the air. Don't know exactly what time yet, but probably right around 7:10 on Friday. Listen to all the games on 94.1 The Rock and on NAHLTV.com. Anything else you got to hit on before we let you go?
Boy, I don't know. I just know it's going to be an intense rivalry. It has been since the very beginning, since the Wings, Bismarck and the Wings have always had kind of almost a little bit of hatred for each other. And in the world of junior hockey, it's so different than high school or even collegiate sports because, if I'm being perfectly honest, the sportsmanship just isn't quite there, It's just not.
They're still young.
Yeah, they don't have that superintendent or that athletic director saying, right, don't do this, don't do that. In fact, it's the other way around. You dirty one of my guys, your coach is telling you, you better go get him. Mm-hmm. And when I say go get him, I mean,
metaphorically speaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of intensity that comes down to these things, and the Wings and Bismarck have had some heated things. Even the fans, every time that Bismarck scores, they throw a pheasant out onto the ice, and literally an actual pheasant.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where we've had some heated issues over the years, so it's going to be an intense game for sure. And like you said, like you and Matt both said, if even if the Wings get swept up there, they still have a chance. ODI Center on Friday the 26th, win that game, and we want to encourage everybody to come on out and buy up some tickets and come on out and cheer them on because they're in the playoffs and they could make a run. They really could.
Start drinking tea and honey now if you're a fan, and get those pipes ready for next weekend. Jay, appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
You got it. That's Jay Kleinkonek joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A loaded weekend on the high school side of things. We'll unpack some of that coming up after this on FSA. Back on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Once again, our thanks to Jay Kleinkonek joining us here on FSA and kind of talking off the air about the squad and the atmosphere of playoff games. And I tell you what, there's something special about the Odie when that place is rocking. You've been to a handful of Wings games, and Wings fans are so unique. They take a lot of this sounds kind of dumb for me to say it, but I'll say it anyway. They take a lot of pride in making a difference. They're kind of like that 12th man in Seattle or something like that. They make a huge impact. They're loud the entire time. And I tell you what, I've never been to other stadiums within the NAHL. I only have my Wings experience, but from what I've been told, it's unique to the Odie for sure.
Yeah, and I was there last
time.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good.
I was there last weekend, and you talk about a great atmosphere and trying to will your team to victory. That's what those fans did there. Game went overtime. Obviously, the Wings won against Austin, a game that was it had you at the edge of your seat. The fans were involved, and they do a great job at that arena. And the fans come ready to roll, and that's what you like to see. They make a lot of noise. They got a little cowbell action.
Yep.
There.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really enjoy. It gives it that, barnyard hockey feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a small, but when you get people in there,
mm-hmm,
wow, It really is an electric place to watch a hockey game.
Yeah, the noise just kind of reverberates around there at the Odie. And when it gets rocking, I mean, don't come a-knocking. And hopefully the Wings can just take home ice advantage from Bismarck here this upcoming weekend. We'll keep you posted on that schedule. I'm thinking at 7:10 for Friday night and Saturday night, but until that's officially announced, that's what I'm leaning towards. But those games will be on 94.1 The Rock. No team scores from this last weekend, pardon me, from the Corn Palace Relays. Aberdeen Central, they were taking place in that. We'll talk about that here in just one second. Friday High School, they had the SDNG invite. That would be over in Milbank for some high school track and field action. Out of 11 squads, Milbank would finish in first place, followed by second place Groton, rounding out the top five. Border West, that would be in third. Lemoore, Litch, Marion, North Dakota in fourth. GPL in fifth. As for Aberdeen Roncalli, they would finish in 11th place collectively. A couple highlights here. Chloe Longauger of Sisseton would win the shot put. Lelia Roberts of Groton would win the 200-meter run. And Riley Dunker of Groton there in third. And this is one that kind of piqued my interest. Addison Heinge from Wilmot, she won the 100-meter hurdles. Tukes, why does that pique your interest? Well, remember, she was that gal that dropped 50 in a ball game this last year in basketball. She was that freshman from Wilmot. Now she's winning the 100-meter hurdles. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, and that is a really cool thing. And we talk about being able to do multi-sport athletes or multi-sports, and these are great athletes, and you're seeing it on full display. Chloe Longauger out of Sisseton, she's a great basketball player, and she wins the shot put. So you see things like that, and you see names, you're like, oh, wow, she's really good in basketball. She also is pretty good in track and field, too. It's just cool to see that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we had Coach Lesnar on the program, I think it was on Friday.
Yeah,
Thursday. This late last week, and he was saying, you know, I'm not so sure how we're going to do with the boys there for track and field on Friday, and they would finish in second place. I think he said they had kind of some lower numbers for that event overall, but Roncalli would finish in second place, Milbank in first, rounding out the top five, Border West, Groton area, and fifth place again, that squad out of North Dakota, Lemoore, Litch, Marion. Individual notes of note, Keegan Tracy of Groton, another great basketball player. He won the 100-meter and 200-meter runs, plus placed second in the 400-meter run. Lincoln Woodring of Northwestern, would win the 1,600-meter run. Also of note, Logan Ringenberg of Groton would win the shot put. Colby Dunker of Groton won the javelin. So more individualized notes can be found on our website on hubcityradio.com. Also of note, on the high school track and field side of things, the Corn Palace Relays with Aberdeen Central. You can check out all of the results on our website, hubcityradio.com. But a couple of these of note, Taryn Hermanson, to your point, another basketball player that is very, very solid in the track and field category. She would win the shot put. Sierra Frank would win the high jump with the school record. She also plays second in the long jump. And on the boys' side, you had David Van Veen winning the 800-meter run, while Colby Dowen would win the 300-meter hurdles. And again, more details can be found on our website on hubcityradio.com. But a really solid event there for Aberdeen Central. No team scores were held there, but a lot of top five finishers and some wins for Aberdeen Central.
Yeah, just looking at this highlights here for the boys for Central, a lot of guys that has a very successful trip there. And, you know, just seeing, you know, Grant Fritz second in the triple drown. I mentioned Jet Carlson, seventh in the javelin. You wouldn't expect somebody like that, you know, played football and basketball, and now he's a javelin thrower. I mean, I think that's kind of cool seeing athletes have pretty unique talents. Like, hey, I'm going to try something new. You talked about that when we had Coach Pollock on from Ipswich about getting the girls' golf team kind of squared away. Like, you see a lot of these athletes want to try different things, and I think that's really cool about South Dakota sports.
No question. Also on the high school side of things, Aberdeen Central would fall in a pair of duels in tennis action, falling 7-2 against Huron. They got singles victories there from Mason Ligon. He would win 6-3, 6-1, and also a victory from Josiah Grand Prix there as well. After falling in the first set, 0-6, picked up victories 6-4 and then 10-8, so job well done there against Huron, even though the team collectively came up with the loss. And the Golden Eagles, they would fall to Mitchell 9-0. Also on the high school side of things, I've seen some impressive stat lines and what have you, but in recent memory, I don't know if I've ever seen this before. High school baseball, Redfield defeats Hamlin 15-0 in four innings. They 15-run them. That's the rule here in South Dakota. If you hit 15 runs or more, ball game's over. So only went four innings. But Eli Morissette, the pitcher for Redfield, went the full four innings. He struck out every batter. That's incredible. He faced 12 guys. He punched all of them out, metaphorically speaking. I mean, knocked these guys out. But he struck out all 12 batters. Hate to be prisoner of the moment guy, but that's pretty doggone impressive.
Yeah, it is pretty good. That is really good. Now, only four innings, I get it. You're going to have people, you didn't play a complete game. But to do that over four innings of work and getting your team right back in the dugout and an opportunity to get those 15 runs is impressive. But that's one of those things, well, he'll probably remember that for his whole life. Hey, remember went on the mound, struck out 12, got a perfect game in four innings? Like, that's really, really cool. And he just must have had everything going for him. The curveball, the off-speed, and the great mix of pitches. And you don't see that. You don't see that at all. So congratulations.
Yeah, 12 strikeouts, 12 batters faced. That is a pretty swell.
I wonder
day
if he had any three-ball counts. That would be pretty cool to look at.
I'm guessing probably not. Maybe. But if I'm guessing one of the reasons why you can have an outing like that is to have a lot of first-pitch strikes. I mean, when you're getting ahead in the count like that, I mean, it's just like good night, nurse. So a really solid effort for him. Also of note, the Aberdeen Wings, like we talked about this with JK, a perfect 2-0 weekend on the road, downing North Iowa 6-2, Jibber Cool with a pair of goals there on Friday night. And then on Saturday, the Wings would pick up that 3-2 victory there as well. Talk some college notes. Northern State Baseball was in the mix this last weekend. Northern State Track and Field, as well as Northern... Final segment of this Monday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. Once again, our thanks to Jay Klein Connect for joining us earlier on in the program. We'll have an Aberdeen Wings Weekly coming up here on Tuesday. We'll also talk some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball. New manager, he'll be joining us live in studio. Looking forward to that conversation. That is coming up tomorrow. Speaking of baseball, Northern State, they were in Duluth taking on the Bulldogs. They would fall in game 1 of 3 in 9 innings, losing 8-6. Wolves offense really had themselves a really solid weekend by and large, but just not quite enough pitching. They would win game 2 of the 3-game series 10-7. Max Otto striking out 4 over 6 innings, so he was solid. Jonas Schmidt 2-for-4 with 3 runs scored and a 3-run home run. Wolves win that ball game 10-7, but then they fall in game 3 and the rubber match that would go to Duluth 11-8 your final score there. So you're putting up 6, 10, and 8, some pretty solid numbers offensively, but you also surrender 8, 7, and 11. So not quite shootout territory, but just a 1-2 trip up in Duluth, which isn't terrible, but you'll take it, I guess.
Yeah, you'll take it, you guess, but I think you'd rather be 2 out of 3
for
there.
Sure.
With the amount of runs you score, you got to do a little bit better job on the mound, and I think that's what their theory is. Hey, we're hitting the ball really well, just didn't get the pitching performance that they needed. Even the game that Otto threw, there were still 7 runs on the board. He went 6, which is huge in a game, because you get in games like that, you got to use the bullpen a lot. So it's difficult on the bullpen. You get tired arms, and I think that might have had something to do with that as well. You need a little bit more from your starters, and they just didn't get that, I feel like, this past weekend. Good offensive performance. I think you can build off of that, but I think the starting pitching has got to go a little bit deeper into games.
Also for Northern State from this last weekend, some track and field action. NSU, their track and field teams, competed up in the Al Cassell Classic meet, no relation to Sam. The Wolves tallied 32 new personal records and 21 first-place finishes. Visit our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details there. But a really solid event for them up there in Jamestown. Good stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff, And when you see numbers like that, it just goes to show that the work's paying off. And congratulations to that program and to those individuals doing those types of things. And, that's awesome to see.
Kind of felt like Northern let a couple slip away earlier on this week against Minot. And we had head coach Ashley Schilling in studio here. Chili Pepper was here. And I said, hey, you know what? You'll get him this weekend. And she said, all right, well, that's the game plan. And guess what? They got him this last weekend. They took care of business 2-0, a couple of walk-off wins, downing SMSU 6-5 in game 1. Abby Rux going 6 2/3 innings of work, striking out a couple. Taylor Coleman earning the victory in relief, going 3 1/3 innings of work while striking out 2. Emma Owens, 1-for-4 with a run scored, 2 ribbies. Kyra Knutson, 1-for-5 plus a walk-off RBI single in the 10th. As soon as the Wolves let things kind of get away from them a little bit, they found a way to reel it back in. I mean, they were down 3-0 after the first inning, or the top half of the first inning. Then they tied it back in the bottom of the first. And then SMSU, in extra innings, they take the lead. The Wolves come right on back. So just felt like every time the Mustangs made a move, the Wolves always had a response.
Yeah, they really did. They've had one of those seasons where they played a lot of close games yeah. that go late, and you got to score some runs. They've been on the wrong side of that a time or two. This weekend, they were on the right side. And congratulations to Coach Schilling there. Like you mentioned, too, it's a couple tough matchups versus Minot earlier in the week, and they responded well. I think it was a full team effort this weekend, and Ashley Schilling's crew with a really solid weekend at home.
Picked up that game 2 victory as well. 1-0, your final score there. Lexi Chase going the complete game of 7 innings of work while striking out 4, only surrendering 3 hits and also walking 0. So a really nice game for her inside the circle. Liv Richardson 2-for-3 at the dish with that walk-off single there in the bottom of the 7th inning. As for the Minnesota Twins, they sweep the Detroit Tigers there on Saturday, winning games 2 and 3 of the series, 11-5 and 4-1. Okay, so you can take 3 out of 4, not too shabby. And then the wheels fell off yesterday late as they fell to Detroit 4-3. And they had a 3-0 lead in the bottom of the 8th inning, and then just the bullpen just shot him in the foot.
Yeah, but I think it was a pretty successful weekend considering that they did get the doubleheader sweep, which
That's
you
good.
Do not see a
not
lot.
Often.
So the fact that they had a lead there in the bottom of the 8th, I think they just ran out of gas.
So they're back in action tonight against your Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, it should be a great series. I'm looking forward to it.
5:35 first pitch on Fox Sports Aberdeen.